Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Well, moms, it's the week of Valentine's Day and love is in the air, or at least the desire for love is in the air. Marriage and relationship coach Suzanne Venker gives us the 7 habits of highly effective couples. Are you practicing them? Well, stay tuned. We'll find out. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Kurlaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that all of you are joining us again this week. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. We've got a great show coming up about love, marriage, and all that fun stuff around it. So it's going to be great. Every week we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. And today's program is going to be another one of those great shows. I'm actually really excited to introduce you to Suzanne Venker. She's a nationally recognized expert on America's gender war. She's the author of several books on feminism's assault on men, women, and the family. She helps liberate women from the lies they've absorbed about men and marriage. She also offers women a positive outlook on love, married life, and family. She also hosts a great podcast called The Suzanne Venker Show. She is a rock star. Well, welcome, Suzanne, to the Moms for America podcast. I follow you. I listen to all your advice and all your insight. I'm just delighted to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell everyone a little bit about your tribe? I want the moms to get to know you before we kind of get into, you know, talking about marriage and traditional wife, all these wonderful things that we want to talk about today. What's your tribe like? Tell us, invite us into your home for a moment.
Okay. So, I mean, just in terms of general audience, I always felt like it was sort of 60-40, 60 women's, 40 men. And I'm speaking to women about countercultural ideas and beliefs and values that I believe will help them create and build better lives, which is completely opposite of everything that they've ever been taught by the culture. That's kind of my shtick. And obviously, men are affected by that as well. So because I talk, of course, a lot about marriage. And I would say that if you were to ask me who reaches out to me the most, I would say it's 30-something women who feel that they have been terribly lied to. And it has taken them really until they hit right around 30, when they start to feel that nesting urge. And they start to look at the world very differently. And they feel as though they've been walloped by all these lies, and they cannot disentangle their situation so that they can find, you know, happiness in their personal lives, i.e. finding a husband, getting married, staying home with their kids, like all these things that are so natural in us as women, but we've been sort of, you know, the culture's sort of tried to pluck it out of us. And when you're young, sometimes you're just not aware of what's happening, but somewhere around 30, it really hits you. And that's what makes it very difficult for me, because it's so, what's the word? It was so preventable, you know, and it makes me very upset, to put it mildly.
Yeah. And you're married. How many kids do you have?
I have 2 children who are about to be 22 and 25.
Yeah. So you're speaking as a mom of experience. So when we get them into our 20s, we're so delighted to God be the glory. I've got a 20 and a 25 and a 28 myself. And I'm just so glad to get them over the finish line and into adulthood here. So let's talk about this. The thing that I appreciate about you is you're very straightforward And a mutual friend of ours, Mona Corwin, said the reason why she loves you so much is that you don't pull punches. And I think in today's society, there's been a lot of coddling. There's been a lot of, well, not really. And there's some things that are just factual. There are just some things that are basic. They're foundational. And marriage is a beautiful foundation that God created, and it can't really be compromised. I kind of would like to start there, and then we'll get into some advice and talking about what it looks like today. But marriage is the foundation.
Absolutely. I mean, when it falls apart, everything else falls apart too. I mean, that's why there's the view of marriage, how one thinks about marriage as an institution, religious or not, because you probably know that I come at this from a very secular argument, not because I'm not a religious person, but because I believe that there is a way to teach, if you will, the significance of all of these issues to people who are not necessarily
Okay, fair,
religious. And so
fair.
I don't want to just speak to that group only because I feel like, well, they're kind of sold, although they still need help, certainly. But I want to speak to everyone and helping them understand the significance of what marriage is. And of course, all my beliefs are, it's all biblical in nature. But it's so much related to mental health, happiness, contentment, not happiness in the way the culture teaches it, right? Not as this fleeting feeling, but this joy and this peace and contentment that comes from having built relationships that are strong and that stand the test of time. And I believe that that is really what we're here for. And when you do that well, that is your glory, and that is you're passing on something that no one can take from you. And we're talking specifically about raising children here, of course.
Yeah, it is your prized possession. Why did you feel a calling to this? I mean, you alluded to a little bit earlier that women started coming to you, or this discussion started happening. I mean, you've jumped in full feet, full force on this topic. Why? How did that happen to you personally to start sharing?
Well, the coaching is in the last 5 years. I started writing about this 25 years ago. I was married and newly pregnant and always knew that I would be home with my littles. And that was actually in the throes of the mommy wars were kind of big at that time. They've kind of passed and we've kind of sort of settled into a different space today. But back then it was quite of all the rage. So every time you turn on the TV, you couldn't help but hear all this crap, quite frankly, like just stuff that wasn't true at all about juggling work and family and about what's more important and about what children need, specifically about what kids need. And these lies that were just being spread left and right about, for example, quality time. All you need to do is spend an hour or two with your kid at night and they'll be good. That kind of thing. And it was just making me batty as somebody who was about to embark upon, doing that work myself. And I knew that that wasn't true. And so I tend to be kind of, I kind of get a bee in my bonnet and I just started writing. And that was when I actually wrote my first book. I think I've always felt I was a teacher by trade in my 20s. And I taught actually middle school English, but I started out studying daycare, believe it or not, when I was in college. They had a daycare on campus where I went to school, and I studied and did research on. I'd go in and watch what was going on in daycare behind a window where they couldn't see you, and took notes and like wrote for paper. So I was kind of doing work that was not really, big, I guess. It was unusual. I thought it was unusual. And so I always knew what kids needed, and I always had a very strong opinion about that. And I was just up against a culture that was basically spreading lies left and right. I mean, I cannot even tell you how bad it was. I mean, the amount of material and research that I did for my first book, it just came, it was easy. It kept coming at me all the time. And I was kind of aghast that young women were being told this stuff. And so that's how it kind of began.
And we've had a lot of former feminists, on the show, and they're like, wow, all of a sudden I realized I was 40 and I've never I've avoided love. I froze my eggs. I mean, just all this stuff that the society, career's most important. You
All of
don't want to
it.
be chained at home with the kids. It's a prisoner. You're a prisoner. All of these things that are just such lies, and they change the whole trajectory of someone's
Yeah,
future. And so
absolutely.
that's why it's so important to get these discussions out.
And I didn't feel that there was just enough of or any. I don't really know. I mean, there was, media was is saturated with feminist thinkers and groupthink, and just selling the same message. You're not going to hear this this other side very, very easily. So.
Well, I do want to talk about a couple of things before we get into the seven habits of highly effective couples, because Valentine's Day is coming up this week. But a couple of things that I'm seeing, and I want to get your take on it. I do see a little bit, and I'm not sure if it's true, because on one hand, I see the young girls and everybody living together, right? They're compromising and they're going to go live together and wait desperately for a ring in hopes that they'll ever get married and build a future together with someone. Then on the other hand, I kind of see this traditional, these trad wives and traditional one wifehood, whatever you want to call it. I would never call it housewife or homemaker coming back, which I love that term, homemaker, where you're seeing homesteading and people sourdough bread and homeschooling and trying to really get this nurturing and training your kids all back and calling it the trad wife. So what are you seeing from your perspective?
So I have this theory, I'm not sure if theory is the right word, but that we're just a country of extremes. We love to talk in these extreme views. And I'm trying to come in the middle and say, hey, there's this vast middle ground. So for example, the trad wife movement, that's great. I support it. What do I care? Do what you want. It looks great. But that's not the only way to be a quote unquote traditional wife and mother. In fact, most people won't go that route. It takes a lot to go that route. And that's okay. That doesn't need to be held up as the only other model for the career life. What I see is people who desperately want to have a traditional life, but it looks more modern, if that makes sense. So you're not necessarily out of the workforce entirely, and you're certainly not a trad wife. You're just something in the middle there with, hey, how can I find a good guy to settle down with, have a couple kids and stay home, and also carve out something for myself. I mean, the majority of women are going to have that kind of a life or are going to want that kind of a life. So that's the group that I'm trying to speak to because I feel like I represent that. I mean, if I were to describe my life, that's exactly how I would do it. I mean, being a wife and mother is the central focus of my life, and I have my hands in other things as an entrepreneur. And I've the key there is to, when you're younger, to make the way I phrase it is, put marriage and family at the center, and then build a life around that. And right now, women are taught the exact opposite: build a career and try to
Fit it all
fit
in.
in marriage and children around there, a husband and babies around this other more important thing. And I'm saying that's why you fail, why so many people fail, because they're doing it wrong. They need to flip that and they'll get it right. That's kind of my, if I were to sum it up.
I agree. Do you think that you said that some people, that's mostly what you're talking to, is 30-year-olds. So when you talk with the 30, 35s or late 20s, early 40s, this is what you're hearing, and they're coming back to, I never had love, I never had a family. And they're trying to now capture it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And if and or they're married, half of them, at least half of them, more than half are actually married. They got the guy, but they don't know how to be married, and they don't know how to fix their finances so that they can stay home. Most of what I get is like the new mom. And so it's not until she has the baby that she realizes she's created this life financially with her spouse, as though there's not going to be a baby that's going to come along and rock their world, in every way, but certainly financially, so that you can step out for a few years. So, for example, buying a house based on two incomes instead of one, that's just going to get you, that's terrible. And that's not the way to do that. You want to make sure that you do the opposite so that you have choices down the line. So I do end up getting, unfortunately, into a lot of the financials to help people, I should say couples, but really these moms, restructure their life so that they can stay home. That's kind of a biggie. Yeah,
that is a biggie.
Yeah.
And I think too, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. I've seen it where there's been, you know, the mom has the baby and she kind of thinks that she's going to go back to work pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then that baby comes and they're just trying to renegotiate their whole world.
Their
And
whole
you can't
world.
even explain that to someone really until they're in it and feeling it and wanting to be at home. And then they got to look at other ways for income or creative avenues. And I mean, thankfully now because of the internet and everything, we do have a lot more options.
Yes.
If we wanted to do something
Yes.
at home or daycare in your house, I mean,
It's never
there's a
been a
lot
better
of,
time,
never
actually.
been a better time for us as women and moms
Agreed.
to kind of still get some kind of check-in and still be a mama and a
Yep.
wife.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about 7 habits of highly effective couples, because boy, we all could use some tuning up here. Right? I mean, this is ever, as someone said, you know, there's not a book on marriage that you can really ever dive into until you live it. So
Absolutely. And
I'm
just,
married 30 years now myself.
I mean, just as, and as we know, having been married that long, we're all learning it. It's not like, oh, I knew this from day one, I'm going to impart it all to you. It's like, this is all stuff that I've also learned the hard way. So I'm just willing to talk about it. That's the only thing that kind of differentiates me, maybe, is just being willing to go out there.
Well, let's talk
Yeah.
about some of these
Okay.
things. You used to talk about not having a team mentality. Let's
Yeah.
break some of these down. The first one you have.
So hands down, that is the number one, in my opinion, problem with young marriages today, is that they are not taught to have what I'm calling a team mentality, so that they come into the marriage and are still talking about yours and mine or his and hers, certainly with finances, but just in general, the language, the pronouns used are so separate, as though they're two individuals sharing space, almost like they're
Right.
roommates,
Roommates, yeah.
as opposed to becoming a married couple and understanding that marriage is this institution where you become one, quite literally. I mean, that's really what the traditional vows are all about. And so because they're trying to be married without actually being married in the true sense, they're struggling and they don't understand that that's why. Basically, you're not doing it the right way, the way it's meant
Right.
to be done. And so to me, the finances are just the most obvious way of talking to them about that, because if you're not all in with that, then you are going to end up having a lot of money struggles, because it doesn't work. That's not how it's meant to go
Yeah.
down. So, yeah.
Yeah, that, like you said, then you feel like you're just renting the space. But you said all in. That kind of leads us to the number two here, which is an all in attitude.
Yep. So I meet a lot of people, unfortunately, where one of them has one foot out the door.
Oh.
And it's more of a mental thing. And I tell them flat out, like, if I really see it, I don't even go, even attempt to work with them. Because one of the things I tell people in coaching is you have to be all in and ready to save this relationship and move forward with a whole new mindset. If the all in is just basically not considering divorce as an option. Let's put it that way. Again, which used to be kind of the norm. It sounds so bizarre, but actually that's how people did view it. It was for life, barring, something extreme. And so when you have that mindset that it's not an option, you approach your conflict and your problems differently. You just do. It's a
Right.
psychological process. And, you know, I mean, if I always thought, well, I could just leave, I'm not going to think about the problem in the same way. When you
Sure.
know there's actually advantages to feeling stuck in solving a problem. There is, because
Yeah,
you
you're
find
right.
things you wouldn't have
You have
otherwise
to
found.
figure it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So that's all
So,
that means.
Okay. Moms, we'll be right back with relationship expert Suzanne Venker right after this break. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right. Well, welcome back, moms. Before we continue our great interview with relationship expert Suzanne Venker, I'd like to invite you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast. Please share this podcast with your mama friends. I think today's show is just another great example of how we can encourage and inspire one another. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, something that you'd like to email me personally at, you go to podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you there. And lastly, I want to invite all of you moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. One, I really hope everybody is a part of our tribe. In our network, there's about 500,000 moms all across the country. We are uniting together for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. And we would love to have you as a part of our community. I say this to everyone. We are the ultimate support group. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us for all of our incredible information, programs, webinars, seminars, resources, events. We have it all there, let alone all the podcasts are there. So check us out again at momsforamerica.us. Three, your marriage is a fortress. No one can get in without your permission. What is this? Mother-in-laws?
Yes, absolutely in-laws.
Family members, yes. Kids, I guess everybody, huh?
Everybody. I mean, everybody, including friends. And, you know, that's a big one because a lot of women that's in particular will go, with their friends about their husbands. And, you know, I mean, you can do that lightly, you know, if it's really minor and something kind of cute and funny, but you don't want to get down into the weeds and saying negative things about your spouse with your friends. The idea
is, you know what, too, Susan, yeah. I should say that too. I think as soon as I start going negative,
they go negative.
Yeah. So I just really, I really do, because, you know, everybody's got a couple things that they want to say. And I just was in a situation like this too. And I started going negative and I just was like, everybody just jumped in and went negative too. And I was like, you know what? I should have started this, you know? So it was a check in my spirit. So
I'm not saying, you know, if you have a real problem and you have a friend who you can count on, who's real, you shouldn't discuss it. That's not what
petty,
I mean.
But...
okay. So the idea is just, that you think of your marriage as number one in your life and it's a fortress. So yes, even your children can't get in. I mean, the marriage has to come before anything else. If you put anything else first, you're letting the world sort of get in the middle in between you. And, right. and you don't want to do that. So your mentality has to be, for example, if your spouse is taking all your problems to their mother or father, which, you know, what are you doing when you're an adult? You shouldn't be doing that, right? That's going to be harmful because then you're teaming up sort of with someone outside of your marriage, and that's never going to go well. That person's going to see the other person differently. That's kind of an example of what I mean. It just has to be kind of the two of you against the world in a way, you know,
that's protecting too.
Yes.
Because, right. Yeah. Cause whenever you do cause problems and it's sometimes it gets really, really out of hand. Mm-hmm. So I totally get it. So,
and then people will have opinions, about something that you don't want their opinion. They're not qualified to do, and you don't want that could hurt you rather than help you.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. They're not qualified to maybe weigh in on that. Mm-hmm. Or you may be praying about something and you may have something that, the Lord's telling you, and you can't even explain that to somebody else because
No,
it's so individual.
definitely.
Yeah. All right, embrace conflict. How do we do this? Okay, sounds really good. Okay, you can't escape conflict. There's only it'll only be temporary peace. This
Here's the
is,
main
I'm
thing.
sure.
It's just, this is a huge, I mean, this is literally, there
Right.
isn't a married couple on the planet who does not
Right.
have to deal with conflict. Conflict, life is conflict. And if you're
Right.
married, you don't avoid it. It's even bigger because you've got someone else to deal with. Conflict is not a simple answer. My main point with that is simply that what I see a lot of is people who are just horribly, horribly conflict avoidant. And they're not addressing things when they come up, feeling like that if they don't, then they sort of keeping the peace, right? You don't want to get into a fight because who the hell wants to get into a fight? It's not
Right.
fun. It's just not fun. It's painful. It's difficult. It's time consuming. It's all those things. The problem is all you're doing is making a, I don't know if everybody can see me, but a problem that's this small, this big, by
Right.
avoiding
It
it, because
grows. Right.
eventually it's like trying to push a ball under the water. It's going to come up. And when it comes up months later, it's even bigger than it was when you tried to avoid it to begin with. So no good can come out of conflict avoidance. And I think it's so big today that it's
Yeah.
almost the norm. That's what I see.
Really?
I do. I see just
Don't want
people
to
are
deal. People
really,
don't
they
want to
don't know
deal with
how to
it.
do that. They don't know how to do it. And understandably, I mean, you could be a product of divorce and your parents never showed you how to, because you'd never had two parents in front of you, like duking it out, not duking it out physically, but, having this conversation that's really heated and then coming
It's
together at
true.
the end. How are you going to see that? And not to say that everybody who's married does that, even if you're not a product of divorce. Very few people see parents doing that even when they're married. A lot of people go into their rooms, close the
Right.
door, so people have to be more comfortable talking, I think, about conflict and how it is a part of life for everybody. And everyone's conflicts are going to be different because the marriages are different. But resolving those conflicts is literally key. I mean, that's it. That's everything. If you can get in there and do that.
You talk about that addressing the problem, don't
Yes.
assume.
Yeah.
Keep it about the problem. I think that's the hardest part for women is we don't keep it about the problem. We
Absolutely.
just go to all the peripherals. Well, it's A, but it's really A, B, C, D, E, F, G, K. And then my husband keeps saying, I thought we were talking about A,
Yeah. Oh, and
and I'm
yet
like,
that's another great reason, by the way,
oh.
is what I mean by addressing when they come up, the moment they come up. Because if you avoid it, oh my God, those A's are going to become A, B, then is A, B, C, but D, but D. What are we talking? That happened 6 months ago. What are you talking
Yeah,
about?
it's not
That.
even related. Oh, it is
Yeah.
in my mind.
Right. Exactly. Meanwhile, in the woman's mind, it's like, well, I've been thinking about this for 6 months. So, of course, I've got, And that's
Oh,
the other thing. Men
gosh.
and women deal with the conflict different. I mean, people do. People do, for
Right.
sure. But also, men and women. Definitely different because women will hold on to things a little bit more than men will. Men don't like it when you read their minds. They can't read a mind either, a man, so they want you to lay it out and say what you need, but a lot of women don't want to do that, so then they don't say anything, so then the man doesn't know what the heck that she needs or wants. Oh, it's not easy.
Yeah, and God intended it this way. He put us both together, right? Put the opposites together to say, figure it out. And I guess this is what makes the world go round.
That it does. And nobody can avoid it if you're married. So it's probably the
No.
biggest, I mean, how to deal
Yeah.
with conflict has got to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
basically
And
communication.
it
Same thing.
is. And I think the more you grow as a person, the more you figure this out, and you never get it perfect. But you're always trying. We're always
Always.
in, under construction here,
Absolutely.
right?
Amen. Same.
What about romance and kind of
Yeah.
keeping the love alive? So we've always got to keep this going because sometimes we just get just so used to each other.
Yeah, this is personal for a lot of people because there's so many things that can get in the way of the. Are you talking about the playfulness one and there's affection,
Well,
or
I've
is this
got
separate to the.
it says prioritize sex and romance, number five.
Okay, so that's different from when at the end. Okay, so yeah, so remember when there was. See, now here's an example of, I'll say it. I don't care how it sounds, but it sounds taboo. There was a once upon a time, it was a given that women were supposed to have sex with their husbands, whether they wanted to or not, right? The women would like pass on this. Did you ever see that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can't remember the specifics, but it was just like the mom would tell the daughter, and this wasn't the only movie, sometimes you just have to do it whether you want to or not. And you wouldn't see that in any movies today because that would be taboo. Because the idea of having sex when you don't want to is like, what? I need, there's consent or, but I shouldn't have to do that if I don't feel like it. It's as if this, the idea of sex is that you're giving something that's yours that, in this particular case that I'm using as an example, that he's not in. Quote unquote, I don't know if this is the right entitled to or has to earn. When I'm trying to say, actually, just use sex to feel better. You can actually, when you're not in the mood, do it. And you're actually going to feel closer as a result of that. And it's okay to use sex to get closer rather than wait till you feel like doing it. Because honestly, if you were to ask a lot of women, especially mothers, a lot of them will tell you, I don't ever feel like it. I mean, they'll just come right out and say it. And that's not the person that the guy often remembered from way back when. So you're recalibrating and reworking with your relationship all the time because your sex life is going to change, of course, after you have kids. It just does for lots of reasons.
And
But
older, whatever stage of life you
and
are,
older.
right? Yeah, you're different. Your 20s different in your 70s or your 40s or whatever. Yes.
Absolutely. So there's no perfect solution. Everybody's relationship is different, but barring any, if you're having any major problems in your marriage or if you're, assuming that everything's kind of okay, I always suggest using it to get closer rather than waiting for the feeling to strike you so that you then have sex, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And
Yeah. So
that's not
instead
a
of
bad
waiting for the
thing.
perfect time,
Yeah, just do
maybe
it.
just.
Just do it. Just do it. I mean, just do it. It is not that hard. And you know what? You might like it. Sometimes for women, they have to be reminded that they like it because it takes so much more for us to
Yeah.
get into it than it does for a guy. And that's why the impetus is so much more on wives and always has been. I think that's why it's just we're not created equal at all sexually, at all, And so the poor guys, they have to like put a lot more effort in it to get a woman to be into it than a woman ever does with a man, right? He's always
Right.
ready.
Right. Oh gosh. So true. All right. Well, we could go on with this one for quite a while. I'm going to move us over to
Okay.
something a little bit safer here, social media.
Oh,
You have
yeah. No,
number
okay.
six. We go from sex to social media here. All right. Examples for this one. And this is, it's so funny because I just got done talking about social media on a podcast right before this and just man, it can be really a big problem in every family, let alone marriages, let alone pornography, this just goes on and on and on. So, what are your thoughts here about
So I'm going
this?
to lay out, I'm not going to address the pornography. That kind of speaks for itself. It is a big problem, no question. But even when that's just pretend that's not even an issue for a lot of people. I'm really honed in on how social media affects and has changed the relationships in your life, marriage, kids, whatever, in its everyday existence. I'm much more tuned into that because I have to
Yep.
deal with it too. It's not like, I mean, we're all in this boat.
Right.
You have to have, in my opinion, because of how prevalent it now is, more so now even than 10 years ago, obviously, you almost have to have very strict rules about it. That's how I feel. In order to not allow it to get in the way of your relationships unintentionally, because I don't think people are trying to, but they're almost, it's, yeah, you can call it an
Consumed.
addiction, but it's like a way of life. It's like
Yeah.
taking a shower, and if they're always there. And so I always say to my husband, it's like, I'd love to live back in the Waltons days when, or just in the 70s, where nothing is, none of that's available. And the question is, what are you then doing if there's no phone? And let's say even pre-TV, you're basically sitting in a room with the other person, and that invites conversation. Naturally, because you're sitting in a room and you don't have any screens distracting you. So maybe you have a book, but you're in a room And naturally, your relationship is going to be, your communication is going to be, I would think, much better because it's going to,
Right.
ne it, the space just commands you to talk. Well, if you're constantly having a screen there, you're never communicating. And that's what I'm much, the porn is a big thing for sure in a lot of couple for a lot of couples, but I'm much more concerned with the everyday communication and how
I
it's being
gotcha.
interrupted. And not
Yeah.
just communication, but sex too, because you're taking them to bed. Well, if you're if you go to bed with no TV and no phone, what else are you going to do in there? You know, you're hanging out. So as long as you've got the phone, the TV in there, it's going to keep you from connecting. And that's really
Right.
my message about social media.
And it's true because it is the third person in the room, or it is the
Absolutely.
fifth person at the kitchen table. And, we were obviously, no phones, no this, no that, but it just sneaks in. And I catch myself every once in a while. I'm so hard on the kids about not answering their phone. And I'm like, I just caught myself answering my phone again. And maybe,
Absolutely.
at dinner time and stuff because it's work related or whatever.
So I do
But
want, can I give one little quick tip? Just
yeah.
a really quick, easy thing that people can take away from it. Whenever your phone, it sounds so silly and small, but it's actually really big. Whenever your phone is in, if it's not away and it is in the room or on the table, turn it over so that the face is not up where the blinking, right?
Right.
Behave difference.
Notification,
Anything.
notification.
Just
Yeah.
turn it over. At the very least, if it's not going to be out of the room, which I'd prefer it,
Right.
certainly with conversations and dinners and all that. If it
Yep.
is, at least, at the very least, turn it over. You'd be
100%.
surprised how helpful that is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, last one. Even though I'm sure there's 100 more things we can chat about, be affectionate and playful. Marriage is a long business.
Yeah, I just think, you know, myself included, lightening up and being silly and being playful is really, really important. A long business. I got that quote from Downton Abbey. I loved it when the lady, I think it was a lady dowager, said, marriage is a long business. And I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking the other day how I'm married almost 30 years. I'm like, God, I got like 30 more to go, I hope. That's a long time with one person.
It is.
And it's a tall order. Let's be honest. I mean, to spend that, you know, half a century with one person is a lot. And
Yeah.
if you don't have that friendship based and that silliness piece and that playfulness, I think it's just harder. And part of that playfulness also is humor. I think humor is really, really important. Whatever that is for you, because everybody's humor is different. But you know, I always think that my house could have a little more levity in it. You know, I think my husband and I do tend to be on the serious side. We are also very playful, but I still think we need more levity, and we're always talking about that. So I just think that's just a little thing I threw in at the end that
Yeah.
it's a little more helpful than it might seem. It might seem kind of small, but over a long period of time, I think it's helpful.
I think so too. And I think if you can partner in the valleys and the mountaintops, those are the things that get you by, let alone, being a helpmate. I mean, I hate to say, not that every man is like this, but you always feel like your husband would be lost without you. And my husband's like, I am going to be lost without you, but I would be lost without him too. But we help them so much be better so they can then lead and guide. And, it's really is such a partnership that, you have to be there, helping one another. And like you said, enjoying each other and laughing and crying and all that. That's it, because it is a long time to
It
be with
is.
someone.
It is, especially today. You know, marriage, it wasn't always that way. People died a lot sooner and in the past. And so it's I mean, I'm not gonna lie. It's hard. You know, it's hard. There's just so much to it. And that's why I think the thing that's hardest for me is this messaging that comes from the culture is just so, I mean, to say it's unhelpful is an understatement. It's really undermining, I would say, people's ability to be successful at it because the kinds of things they need to hear are so taboo, like the fact that men and women are different and they bring different qualities to the table, and this equality
And to
stuff,
celebrate them,
and to
right? And
celebrate
just,
them and
yeah.
not compete, you know?
Yeah. And that's it. That's the hardest thing, I think, for this generation. And I don't know, maybe it was starting back in our day too, but just to embrace, I mean, there's nothing better than saying I do to someone that pledges their life to you is not that either of us are perfect, that you can build a life together, raise a family, and have longevity and history and a legacy together. Like, I couldn't even imagine starting over with
I
someone
know, I think.
because I would be like, what in the, you don't know anything about me for, and just having that history with someone is really meaningful. And sometimes it's a 5-year history, sometimes it's, 30 years, but to God be the glory for all of us that can make it. And I'm sure the husbands say the same thing too. But this is a journey, and this is what how God created. This is the cornerstone. This is the foundation of family.
It is, and well, we can end where we started. When it falls apart, everything else falls apart after that, because as soon as the marriage falls apart, the family falls apart. The family falls apart, society falls apart. It really does begin with marriage.
Closing words of advice, Suzanne, for our moms that are out there listening. Valentine's Day is this week. What would you say?
To moms.
Yeah. To wives, to all of us out here.
This is very specific, but when you pledge in your mind what you need and what you want and what, and you're focused on your family, your marriage, your relationship, do not let social media distract you from that goal. And that sounds really specific, but I am convinced that it is incredibly destructive to have that messaging that is bombarding you all the time, that is usually the opposite of whatever it is you're trying to focus on, and it gets you off track. And so turning that off and really staying mindful, even if it's just having, I mean, that's probably not the direction you were thinking I was going to go, but I really think I'm worried about social media and its effect on people's lives in their being able to accomplish their goals, because it's too much temptation. It's too much, haha, see what everybody else is doing kind of thing. And that really
It's
is getting people,
competition.
it's competition. There you go. And it's getting, and that's the last thing anybody who's trying to get married and stay married needs, because it causes you to think, oh, well, wait, over there. Oh, okay. And it's human nature to like look around at what other people are doing. And it's really harmful to being able to achieve your goals. So that's the first thing I thought of, because that's how prevalent it is and how worried I am
Right.
about
Well,
people.
because you are talking with wives all the time and women. And I think too, just as a side note, I think if we watch everyone on social media, somehow we feel like maybe we didn't get the raw end of the deal or we don't have it as good as they do. And
Yes, right.
we all know that that is a fake world anyways. I mean,
Absolutely.
I'm usually not posting, the terrible things in my life. I'm usually just sharing the good things to inspire and encourage. But to some people, maybe that's not inspiring or encouraging. Maybe that makes them feel or makes me feel unfortunate or something. We don't
Yes,
know, you
yes.
know?
And that's hard for the human psyche to just say, oh, what you're seeing isn't real. You really have to know that. You really, really have to know that. It's okay to look at it if you really do know that, I guess. But I just think so few people do. I think it's just natural for them to let it get them off track. And I think you just have to stay focused on your family and your home and not let the world get in there.
Well, thank you. Can you t let everybody know about how they can follow you on
Sure.
Instagram and all that, and your books and your
Yep.
website?
Yeah. So my website is just my name and pretty much everything is there. It's just suzannevenker.com. And that leads you to my coaching page, social media, all the rest.
All right. Well, thank you. And some of the books that you have there, how many books are in your collection right now?
Five. I have about five.
Look
About
at you,
five.
girl.
Well, over 25 years, I guess. So I guess that's one every 5 years.
That's good. That's
Not
good.
too
Well,
bad.
thank you so much. I'm really delighted to have you on and so appreciate your voice of
Thanks
common
for having
sense.
me.
All right. God bless you.
You too.
What a great interview with Suzanne. Again, check out all of her information. I know all of us are trying to be better spouses, and this Valentine's Day. What a great time to be reminded. For all of you, thanks for being a part of this program. Again, please stop by momsforamerica.us. Check out all of our amazing programs and resources so we can help support you on your journey through motherhood. Happy Valentine's Day, moms. Enjoy your family, your hubby. Enjoy your loved ones. And I say this every week, we're here for you from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. Moms for America has it all. So let's keep changing our world one home at a time. And I'll see you next week. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.